David Morgan pens the Morgan Report, covers economic news, overall financial issues on the global economy. Welcome back, David Morgan.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you. And I guess we should state before we go any further that we're both having a bit of audio issues. I was criticized on one of my more recent issues about, David, clean up the audio, and we just do the best we can. You're in a remote location. I'm in a remote location. Sometimes we can't do any better than we're doing. So I think that's important to get out in front before we start the interview. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for that, David. We are going to do our best to clean up the audio today, but you're right. Just moved to a location with very poor phone reception. 2017 is shaping up to be one of the better years for the precious metals in the last six or so. We just didn't have the follow through that you like to see with a nascent bull market. A lot of folks in the sector seem convinced that we could be building a base with this increased volatility to retest the former zeniths circa 2011. What are your thoughts?
When a market comes off a bottom, and it was a tough forming bottom for both metals, every time that is taking place, it becomes more of a trader's market. So in 2016, we emphasized in the Morgan Report for everybody to get on board for a rally in January and February. But like Richard Russell, I'm more inclined to let the market tell me what's happening than me to tell the market what it should do. So the market kept going higher and higher and higher. And then on the premium service, I do these updates on an as-required basis. And the commitment of traders is at the highest level it had ever been. I said, that's enough. And I got everybody out of the trading position because we both invest and trade for those that want to follow my trade. And we got out basically at the top of the market in the summer of 2016 and watched it decline over the next several months into the end of the year. And this year, I basically said reload in January. And many people early on, as you remember, Chris, said it's going to be a repeat of 2016. It's going to go up, 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 up into the summer, and then maybe it'll fall back. Well, that's not what's happened. It's been more volatile. So right now, I think it behooves people to part of their positions, not all. Most people are better off with a buy and hold philosophy as long as they buy, you know, relatively low and have some patience. But for those that are more aggressive, it feels good psychologically and material in your pocketbook, in your bank account, your silver stack, if you are able to trade part of your position. So right now, I'm going to be doing an update for the members on the commitment of traders. It's been different in gold than silver because it's divergent. So you have a certain pattern set up in the silver market that doesn't necessarily carry over in the gold market. But I am convinced that the bottom is in. The bottom took place at the end of 2015. There are some out there that I won't name that are convincing people that the bottom is yet to be seen. That the rally of 2016 was a bear trap, and that we're going to hit a new low in the intermediate term, meaning, you know, not the ultimate low we saw in the early 2000s, a lower low than what we saw when we touched around the $14 level in silver and the $10.50 level in gold. Lower than those lows. I doubt it.
You know, I think it's very responsible for a market watcher and commentator, analyst, to show both sides of the story. We see something similar here. I think, again, you know, it's just responsible to point out that a consolidation can break out either way. A lot of good signs like we saw. I like to compare it to the 2008-2009 sideways action in U.S. equities before the eight-year bull run. And maybe even more like, you know, 2010-2011 in the housing market as we found a bottom following one of the biggest declines in its history. Silver has held up really well on most of these sharp sell-offs. That tends to be another contrarian or positive development.
Well, I'm very inclined to use the gold-silver ratio, and I won't say on the radio because, you know, I'm paid for my analysis, but actually, Chris, from my perspective, we broke a level that gives me confidence that we're going up. It's more inclined to go down. These are based on probabilities. I mean, you know, do I have a crystal ball? No. Am I psychic? No. But I have 40 years in the market, and I get kind of in tune with the market. Doesn't mean I'm right all the time, but I also know what to do if I'm off. You know, I'm very, very explicit. So if the market does a certain thing, that gives me a confidence of the probability that I will continue in a certain direction. The amount of time, that's another factor. Those are usually educated guesses. So right now, based on the gold-silver ratio, I'm not happy with silver's performance relative to its leading in a bold way. So I'm more inclined to see more consolidation. I'll be doing an update for the, you know, for my members here later this week. Commitment traders improved somewhat in silver, substantially in gold on the left commitment traders report. So I'll go through that with them and, you know, highlight and circle and talk about and all that stuff. I don't want to get everyone into the idea that, you know, I analyze commitment traders, you know, before their very eyes each and every week, and I don't. I do it, well, maybe once or twice a month maximum. I do other things during the month because it is an important tool and it does give us good confidence, but it's not that accurate as far as timing, and it's not the only tool out there. It used to be. Back in the early 2000s, basically you could run all your trade off of commitment traders and do very well. But since the advent of the SLV and everything else that's come on board in ETF world and the other banking institutions and high frequency trading and quant studies on what the words mean, I mean, it just goes on and on and on down with this, what I'll put in quotation marks is AI. I'm not sure about what artificial intelligence really means, but what I do know is that these expert systems certainly are trading at rapid rate, well beyond what any, you know, human is capable of. So we're in a different world, but it doesn't mean you can't still, you know, use a pencil, a paper, and volume and figure out most of the time with like an 80% accuracy which way the market's going to go. On the intermediate term, I want to make sure if anyone signs up, not thinking that, you know, David has a day, you know, the trade of the day. I usually position trade two, maybe once. Last year it was one time. I got in January and got out in July. That was it. But it was a real nice trip from, you know, that $14-$15 level all the way up to the 19 level. So, you know, if you do that on leverage or even with the mining shares. I mean, a lot of shares, a lot of my people said, David, I'm not going to worry about it. You're seeing it's probably going to be about a 30% pullback. You know, I can handle it. That's fine. I'm buying hold and thank you very much. And then, you know, a few months went by and it's like, oh my goodness, I wish I would have sold some. You were right, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not trying to make myself right all the time. I've got too many critics out there, you know, all the time, and that's fine. They can criticize all they want.
First of all, I'd like to say 40 years in these markets. Look back at your trading career 10 years ago. So I wanted to first give you a hat tip for that. Secondly, I like this idea you bring up about virtual AI, artificial intelligence, expert systems, and of course, black box systems. It's a different world than we saw, you know, 20 years ago. You mentioned the COT. I like to watch it as well. Like yourself, I view it as really almost a fundamental indicator now to give you that longer term confidence that you're on the right side of the trade. But even more importantly, back to AI, you talked about there are still pockets of profitability, I think might be one term. And I think that that really is the trend. It's the theme. It's the market bias that scientists refer to as autocorrelation and serial correlation in the markets. I think that that's where the Morgan Report, GoldSeek, GoldSeek Radio, and other services add value to our listeners' portfolios, can help keep you on the right side, keep your confidence level hopefully high. When volatility increases, you still need to be on the right side of that trade. I think I hear a more upbeat silver investor today. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, you know, I've tried to be consistent. And I, for most people, the best thing it could possibly do is buy some physical gold and silver if they're of that capacity. In other words, their net worth is high enough and they have that much, you know, savings, and put it away and forget about it. You know, I think that serves most people the best. You know, just go about their lives, financial crisis, collapse or not, they're protected from a monetary aspect. There's a lot more to a collapse scenario than just money. So that's, you know, for free and for fun and just, again, just relax about it. Something that should make you sleep better at night, not worse. For those that are in the silver stacking community on up, that take this market more seriously and have more invested both in time, effort, and energy, that's a different scenario. So for those people, obviously, you know, we have our free stuff that we do with, you know, interviews like this. And I write something weekly at themorganreport.com free letter. And then, of course, we have our premium membership and our mastermind membership. So, you know, it depends on what the person really needs. But I think most people are just best served by having a position and paying for it in full, putting it in their hand, and forgetting about it, really. and not forgetting about, like, they don't know they have it. They're just relaxed. And as far as am I more upbeat, I think I'm more upbeat because I think people are coming around. And the more people that understand the truth, the better off we'll all be. I mean, I was down in the San Acapulco conference with Jeff Berwick, the dollar vigilante, recently. And it was like a 4 or 5 day event. I only stayed there for a few days, had to come back and write the report. But it's interesting to me, and what I said at the end of my speech, and it holds true, is there's nothing more powerful than the truth. And if we all start speaking the truth, you know, to everyone, everywhere, we would have a much different planet than we have now.
Isn't it a Matrix-like moment, David Morgan? I mean, you talk about the truth. It is essential, especially in the investing arena. Of course, truth needs to be disseminated in a responsible manner. We don't want to force people to take the red pill, right? But our very survival may hinge on whether we choose the right hand, let's just say. I think that's where, again, your service and hopefully ours can really benefit folks. Why don't you leave a tasty tidbit, cuisine for cogitation, with our listeners today as we wrap up this interview. My guess is you have some interesting insights on what type of show we might see ahead in the precious metals sector in 2017.
Well, Chris, you know, I sent you a press release regarding this. It's a precious metal technology. It's an inert reagent that basically precipitates metal out of the solution. And it's going to be something what of a game changer, at least it's my initial impression. I'm trying to hold back my enthusiasm. But it's a long story. My members know about it. I sent it out on the blog, so a lot of people are at least familiar with part of the story. And this is something that could be monumental. I mean, this is going to be a big close, a long close. But if you go back to the silver guru of the last bull market, which was Jerome Smith. Jerome Smith wrote Silver Prophets in the 70s, which some say was instrumental in getting the Hunt brothers interested in the silver market. He wrote Silver Prophets in the 80s, a subsequent book to his first one, What's Behind the New Boom in Silver, The Coming Currency Crisis, and several other books regarding basically founded on Austrian economics. And he had predicted $200 silver by like the mid-90s. And the last book he wrote was published in the early 80s, 83, 84, somewhere in that range. And what he missed, and he was a smart guy, what he missed was a technology change. What he missed was heat leach cyanide precipitation gold. And that sounds like a very basic thing because it's been around for so long. However, at the time, so if you looked at the data that he used, you never got more than about 350 million ounces of fine silver out of the earth in any given year, going back decades, actually going back centuries. So he made the assumption, an incorrect one, that 360 was the top level of silver you could produce out of the earth. When heat leaching came along, it changed the technology, and the amount of silver produced went up and up and up and up. So I am very careful to always bear that in mind, because it's important that, you know, there are technological changes throughout all sectors. This one will probably have more effect on gathering recycled silver and gold than it will the mining industry, although it plays a part in each. But it's actually more beneficial from a monetary aspect. In other words, it's more lucrative to harvest computer motherboards, cell phones, these RAM fingers, and everything else.
That's really an opportunity for investors today, because with the price so suppressed, gold and silver well below fair value, at least according to most of our top guests, there really aren't the economic incentives to recycle. You probably won't see the impact or effect of this technology until prices have moved sharply higher. I think it might prove invaluable to certain miners. So that would be something to keep an eye on if they increase their productivity. Please tell people more about the Morgan Report, all the great stuff they'll have, and why they need to bookmark that site.
Yeah, just get on our free e-letter. It's once a week at least, and it's themorganreport.com. Just give me a first name and a valid email address. It's a double opt-in. I still want a few because we want, you know, serious people even for our free work. And you'll get an email saying validate that you are you. You click that link, and now you're in, and you will get a a welcome letter, and you will be in the fold, which means that every time I do an interview like this on the weekend, we'll send it to you so you can kind of pick and choose or listen to them all or leave commentary or whatever you wish to do. And that's it. So that's it. And of course, if you want to upgrade to a full paid membership, we always appreciate that as well, of course.
David Morgan, look forward to hearing further comments ahead in 2017.
Good, Chris. Thank you.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.